What sounds like more fun than getting paid to go on bike adventures, create new routes, and organize events for other cyclists? Sounds too good to be true, right? But that's exactly what Sarah Swallow is doing. Sarah manages to blend adventure cycling, community organizing, and advocacy work into one creative and inspiring package. Whether you're interested in joining her in Southern Arizona for a ride, learning how to organize your own event, or create new cycling routes, you'll want to listen to this episode. That's all coming up right after this intro.
You're listening to the Femme Cyclist Podcast, and I'm your host, Kristen Bonkowski. Like most of you, I'm a bicycle-obsessed rider and sometimes racer. Each week, I'll bring you interviews from inspiring women and offer tips and tricks to help you thrive on the bike. At Femme Cyclist, we celebrate all forms of riding and all forms of women. So whether you're a road racer, bike commuter, or hardcore shredder, you'll find your community here.
Are you looking to get a little fitter or a little faster on the bike? My 12-week cycling fitness plan is for you. Maybe you want to keep up with your significant other or friends on the group ride. Maybe you just want to make it up that big hill without walking or without feeling so out of breath. Or you might just be looking for a little structure to keep you motivated and getting out on the bike every week. You can choose from 3 or 4 workouts per week and a total of 4 to 6 hours per week of riding. Podcast listeners get 50% off with coupon code PODCAST50. Head over to femcyclist.com/fitness to learn more and to sign up. Sarah Swallow, thank you so much for being here today. Before we jump on in, can you just start out by giving us a little introduction and background about yourself for folks who maybe don't know who you are?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me. I am Sarah Swallow, and I am an adventure cyclist and a community organizer.
Okay, so let's start there. What does that mean to be an adventure cyclist?
Yeah, so back in 2015, I actually had a bike shop, and I converted from, you know, having a bike shop to riding my bike full time and having a brand partnership. So, you know, at the time, it was before, you know, the term ambassador or influencer existed. So at the time, I was a sponsored athlete for adventure. And yeah, as you know, the internet has evolved, so has my work. And so, yeah, I've just been, for the most part, working with brands since 2015. And they work with me to, because of the adventures I go on, but more so over the past few years because of the community organizing that I do. So yeah, I write stories. I collect content from my adventures, photos, videos, and provide those to brands. I also promote them on my own account. So that is the bulk of the adventure cycling side. And then the community organizer is kind of what I've done to give back to the community from essentially my, all the adventures I've had. I just want to share, you know, my version of an experience with people on a bike. And I've always done that. Even when I had a bike shop, I was hosting rides, gravel rides in Southwest Ohio. And so, yeah, I organized rides, the Sky Islands Adventure Ride Series in Tucson every winter. I'm the founder and director of Ruta del Jefe, which is an adventure cycling event that's also focused on education, community, and advocacy. And let's see what else. I also develop bikepacking routes and maintain bikepacking routes. So the big one for me here in Arizona is the Sky Islands Odyssey Project, which is 3 bikepacking routes around the Santa Rita Mountains. And through that, I educate people about the region and also actively maintain that route. So there's just usually lots of updates that need to happen, either roads going out of commission or creeks drying up. So that kind of thing.
So all of these events that you're organizing have some kind of advocacy component. Why is that important to you?
Because they all have an advocacy component, especially down in Southern Arizona, just because, one, I think as recreators, it's our responsibility to give back to the places that we ride to in some way. Even if that's just having more understanding and appreciation and context for the place. But I truly believe that as recreators, we have a powerful voice. We contribute to the outdoor recreation industry, which combined is, generates more income than mining and oil and gas mm-hmm. combined. So I think that we have a lot of potential to, protect places, to advocate for change. This is like a very grassroots way of kind of trying to shift the mindset of cyclists from, traveling to a place just for, the experience and to get the photos and everything. It's, to say, hey, there's way more to this place than, that meets the eye. Like, for instance, the Sky Islands in Southern Arizona are one of the most biodiverse places in the world. So even like compared to Yellowstone National Park, it's just more, has more biodiversity than a place like that. At the same time, one of the greatest industries in Arizona, as you may know from your time here, is mining. So there's just a lot of minerals in the soil. And especially with like the movement from coal, climate change, we're all trying to get electric cars, and even with our bicycles, electric bicycle components, which takes copper, and the copper is, a lot of copper is coming from Arizona. There's the mining aspect, and then there's also the humanitarian crisis and immigration crisis happening on the border, which in this particular area, you can be directly faced with that on a bicycle ride. So it's important to know what your rights are to give humanitarian aid and, treat humans like humans, like the way you would want to be treated. So I want to make sure that people know that before they come to the region so that they know what to expect and that they can, mentally prepare for something like that. So many things happening in this particular region. So there's a lot of stories to tell. And I think it's a way of bringing, a beautiful bicycle ride where the scenery is constantly changing every, 20 or 30 miles is a great way to kind of bring people into the conversation of like the greater story of what's happening in the region.
You've got the Ruta del Jefe coming up real soon here. Can you talk about that? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Ruta del Jefe is a bi-national adventure cycling event that is focused on education, community, and advocacy. This year, it's hosted on March 21st through the 24th, and this will be the inaugural year that will happen in Sonora, Mexico, so just on the other side of the border with the U.S. It's hosted at a place called Cuenca Los Ojos, which means watershed of the springs. It's a conservation area that protects 120,000 acres of formal ranch lands. And Cuenca Los Ojos is the equivalent of a nonprofit in Mexico and a partner nonprofit in the U.S. And they work to kind of restore those lands their main focus is restoring the watershed. So they're using, different indigenous procedures to kind of allow the soil to retain the water rather than create the runoff, which has historically happened from the degradation of the land from grazing. So they have done that. you know, this Cuenca Los Ojos is known for having jaguars come back to their lands, black bears, Mexican wolves, beavers. So it's a very biodiverse place, and there's a lot of life there. And yeah, it's going to be an adventure. It's right up in the foothills of the Sierra Madre Occidental, about 45 minutes east of Agua Prieta or Douglas, Arizona. So Agua Prieta is the town on the Mexico side. Yeah, so we will all travel down there on Thursday. And yeah, we'll greet people. We'll go for a little ride. We'll have a movie night. And then the following day on Friday is our big education day. So we've got workshops. You know, some of our workshops are like bird walk tours and habitat tours. We've got a sculpture making, you know, it's like a creating a bee, live bee habitat out of a sculpture. We've got a legal immigration simulation workshop where people will be kind of taken through the experience that migrants face when they reach the border. And it'll just deconstruct those questions of, you know, why people don't enter legally. It's just because all, you know, so the participants will be taken through a simulation like that. We've got Mexican cacao tasting, distilled agave spirits tastings, and coffee tasting as well. More bike rides. And then that evening, we host a night of speakers. So Ruta del Jefe partners with different conservation, humanitarian aid, and indigenous organizations from the region. And so these organizations are all going to be benefiting from our community fundraiser. So a commitment for the participants of Ruta del Jefe is that they have to fundraise as part of their registration fee. They have to fundraise a certain amount of money, or they, you know, donate them that amount themselves. And these organizations that we partner with, you know, benefit from that fundraiser. So, yeah, we've got the Indy Nation, which is formerly known as the Apache Nation, coming to on Friday. They'll be speaking, as well as Borderlands Restoration Network, which is an organization based out of Patagonia, Arizona. We've got Por la Defensa El Rio Casa Grande, which is a small collective out of Chihuahua, Mexico, that are lobbying in Mexico City to prevent a dam being built on the Casas Grande River. Let's see, we've got Cuenca Los Ojos, of course, and Frontera de Cristo is our other organization. They're a humanitarian aid organization based in Agua Prieta that have a lot of different programs for migrants, one of which is called Cafe Justo, which is a coffee collective where they are establishing like coffee collectives all throughout Mexico to encourage folks to, you know, earn a good living, you know, staying and working their lands and making coffee beans and exporting those coffee beans. But yeah, they're doing lots of things. They've got like a women's center and a shelter and all that stuff. So we'll hear from all those groups on Friday night. And then on Saturday, folks will go out on a adventure ride. So I say adventure ride because it's not a gravel ride and it's not quite like a mountain bike single track ride, but it's definitely, you know, more mountain bike heavy at Cuenca Los Ojos. These roads, you know, Cuenca Los Ojos, this Ruta del Jefe is kind of the first experience that people will have to visit Cuenca Los Ojos publicly from the public. So, yeah, the roads are rugged, double track, very steep, loose, rocky. It's a volcanic kind of area with lots of canyons and yeah, so it's lots of climbing and super fun and interesting and lots of views, lots of change of scenery as you get in this region. So yeah, we've got three different routes that people can ride. The longest one is 40 miles and around 4,500 feet of climbing. So it's a heavy climbing for the mile that you get. It's still a big day. It's probably going to take people around 8 hours to complete that 40 mile ride on average. And then we've got a shorter route that's around 30 miles, and then another route that's 11 miles for folks that just kind of want to a shorter experience. So, yeah. And then we wrap up the event on Sunday with, an advocacy training seminar hosted by Outdoor Oath, which the Oath is a nonprofit organization that is teaching people a plan for their own individual plan for allyship, mm-hmm. for inclusion, planet, and adventure. And so we'll wrap the event up with a session like that. And yeah, so the idea is, you know, we're providing this really incredible experience. We're sharing meals. We're, you know, everything's kind of done as a community. And we're kind of wrapping that all up with like, okay, what, you've had this amazing experience. How can you take this and apply it to either your advocacy for the borderlands or your advocacy for a place that you're really passionate about where you're from? So yeah, it's really, that's kind of the
yeah.
gist of
it. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
This year's event is already sold out. Is there a plan to do this again in 2025?
Yeah, the plan is for 2025. We're still figuring out if it'll be held in Mexico again next year or if it'll be in Southern Arizona. So, you know, I'm just kind of exploring that option as well. I do also need to kind of take some steps and, you know, there is a lot of momentum with Ruta del Jefe. So I am, you know, taking steps to form a nonprofit that will encompass all these projects that are adventure and education focused and in the region. So that'll be my own project this year.
The Sky Islands Adventure Ride Series, another thing you've got going on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so those are just one-day community rides scattered throughout the winter time here in Tucson, which is essentially our summer because mm-hmm. it's the nice time to ride. We get a lot of visitors from out of town too. And the Skylines Adventure Rides are just ways for me to gather a group of people and ride what I call adventure routes. So it's like, you know, there's this, all this like focus on gravel, you know, gravel. And, you know, there's some really good gravel in Southern Arizona, particularly in the San Rafael Valley, which is where everybody is going. But there's actually more what I consider like adventure yeah. kind of terrain, which is like double track, more technical. You know, generally you want a mountain bike to ride or, you know, drop bar mountain bike. You know, that's where you get kind of like it. There's no good bike for it. So it's fun because you just get a whole bunch of people on lots of different random bikes. So yeah, I like those. I prefer to ride that kind of stuff. That's more akin to like bike packing terrain mm-hmm. in general. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with that. And I just like the pace of rides like that. You know, it's, you know, you're all kind of going through something tough together and then you're regrouping and then, you know, it breaks it up and, you know, it's not conducive to hammering or dropping people. It's like everybody's going slow enough that, you know, everybody kind of can stick together. So yeah, on the Sky Islands Adventure Rides, we regroup frequently. We hang out afterwards. It's more about the community than the adventure. Particularly this year, the weather has been, we've had a really wet winter. So I've actually had to reschedule or cancel the rides like with bad weather. Like I won't host the rides in those cases because that creates a scenario where it's every person for themselves. And the idea for these rides is to ride together. So yeah. I do prioritize good weather, decent weather, where people are inclined to hang out and have fun. But they're also great, you know, they're great rides to do if you're ever like wondering, hey, do I want to do any of Sarah Swallow's stuff? Like, if do I want to ride her bikepacking route, or do I want to do Ruta del Jefe? Come on one of these adventure rides and see what you think. And if you love it, you're going to love the type of stuff I put on and the routes that I make. And if you hate it, then, you know, maybe my stuff is not for you. Yeah, so that's another way. It's like I get to kind of share, you know, my whatever, my style of routes and that I use for my events. And
is there single track on these rides, or is it just like rugged road?
There's some single track sometimes. What, you know, in Arizona, we've got the Arizona Trail, and then we've got a lot of old mining roads. So most of the time they're on these old mining roads, and sometimes we incorporate the Arizona Trail, but usually if I do incorporate single track, it's pretty easy single track. I don't normally love to take big groups on, you know, big single track rides. So most of the time it's like, you know, rough kind of mining roads with a mix of gravel and maybe a mix of single track. So lots of variety. I'm all about variety. I get bored easily. So I try to like apply that to my routes to make it keep things interesting.
How did you get started being like an organizer? And if somebody's listening and is like, oh man, I'd really love to do something like this in the area where I live, what advice would you have for them?
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll start with the getting how I got started. Yeah. So I got a job at a bike rental when I was 12 years old. And yeah, I worked at that bike rental for 8 years, and it was my, you know, obviously I was very, very, probably too young to be working, but you know, that's what we did then. And I'm one of six kids. So, you know, my parents were like, yeah, if you want to buy anything, you got to pay for it. So I had, you know, an early experience with small business, and also an early experience with working with bicycles and kind of seeing how, you know, how much joy bicycles brought to people. Like, people that came to that bike rental were all over from, you know, Cincinnati, Indiana, and Kentucky. They would travel from all these different places to ride this 70-mile paved rail trail bike path. And they were not cyclists. They were just people that wanted to experience nature on a bicycle, on a cruiser bike. And it was awesome to see them go out for those rides and come back and have had an adventure, like had a, you know, just a nice time. And through that, I think I attribute, you know, my boss at that bike rental as like kind of creating my work ethic, or formulating my work ethic, just because he was pretty demanding. And, but we also hosted little events. Like, we had this thing called, the pedal paddle porch party, where, you would pedal down the bike trail, then you would paddle a canoe down the river, and then you would come back to the bike rental for like live music and fun dinner and stuff like that. So that was like first event that I helped, you know, I didn't necessarily organize it, but I did have a pretty big role at a young age. When the time came, when I was graduating from college, or well, when I was in college, I got a job at a bike shop, at a real bike shop. And I was just like, okay, well, I really like working with bikes. I'm going to get a job at a bike shop. So I worked at the bike shop, managed a bike shop, actually managed two bike shops. And then those bike shops ended up closing. The owner closed those shops. And when I graduated from college, I decided that I wanted to be a small business owner. And so I decided to open my own shop in a quarter of that shop's space. So my shop was called Swallow Bicycle Works. I opened it with my partner at the time. And we had, you know, focused on service, custom builds. And through that, you know, that was really early on Instagram days. And I kind of promoted my shop on Facebook and Instagram a lot. And we also just started riding a lot ourselves and exploring more of Southwest Ohio, and eventually started hosting gravel rides in Shawnee State Forest, which was like an hour and a half away from Cincinnati. And it was really, you know, something different, new. Not a lot of people were, I mean, we didn't know anyone that was riding gravel at that time. We were just doing cyclocross or road racing or mountain bike racing. That was like the options. So I love the gravel because I come from more of a road background. And so, and then I was also doing cyclocross, and gravel was kind of like a nice in between. Like I didn't like the high intensity workout of, of cyclocross, but I like the technicality of it. So it was gravel was a nice combination of doing the endurance, long distance stuff. Yeah. So we did that for, you know, 5 years, and somehow Specialized found out about me, and they reached out in like 2014 and was like, hey, we want to sponsor you, and we want you to be part of our adventure dispatch group, which is like a team of five people. And yeah, I got sponsored that in 2015. And with that, I was like, hey, you know, this is a once in a lifetime experience. Like I didn't think I was going to be able to do it for forever. So I was like, I want to, you know, utilize this money and go on an adventure of my, of a lifetime. So we closed the bike shop with the full intention that we'd come back and reopen it when we were done, but we closed it and rode our bikes across the country on dirt roads. So we rode, from east to west, on a dual sport motorcycle route called the TAT. And we were the first cyclists to do that. It was 5,000 miles, and yeah, took us 3 months. And when I got done with that trip, I was pretty much like, hey, I want to keep doing this. I don't want to go back to the bike shop. You know, I'm tired of the bike shop. I had been working in the bike shop for, you know, over 10 years at that point. So I was like, I'm ready to, you know, go see the world and see where this could take me. So that kind of just started this career where I've just, you know, diversified my income through different brand partnerships. And yeah, it's changed a lot, and, you know, but, you know, it's always, we're just going with what makes sense. And yeah, it's been great fun. I've gotten to see a lot of amazing places. I never imagined that I would do anything like this. You know, like when I was in high school or like in middle school, I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up. I never really like had anything I was super passionate about. And so when I found the bicycle when I got out of high school, when I got like a road bike, I was borrowing my mom's road bike. And I just loved the way it felt to ride a bicycle. Yeah. My family were all runners. And, you know, my dad had had multiple knee surgeries, so he had gotten into cycling, and that's why, you know, I had my mom's road bike. And so I went out with him and I was like, oh my God, this is such a better, more fun workout. And, you know, then the freedom aspect, like I can use it to take me places or to see places. And yeah, just like growing up in Southwest Ohio, like I never really thought there was anything out there, you know, interesting for me to experience. I had spent early childhood in Southern California. So I had been exposed to, you know, Yosemite and Sequoia, yeah, just like all the national parks in California. And so I had this like context for like wild spaces and public lands that I was missing in Ohio, but I found them through the bicycle. You know, I realized there were places to get out into nature and experience nature by bicycle. So yeah, that's how I got into it. Your second question
was, what advice would you have for ladies or anybody who is interested in becoming an organizer?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, just start, like you never just, if you are interested in it, there's a high chance that other people are interested in it as well. And if you create experience that you want to be a part of, then more people will come. I think the big thing right now is we're getting overwhelmed by these huge corporate gravel events. And even the bike packing events are becoming pretty big. Like they're still rootsy, but they're also kind of really big and also really competitive. So I just see there being a whole lot of potential for non-competitive community events. And I think we just need more organizers. What I hear from people, like organizers, sometimes is like, hey, I organize this thing, but not a lot of people come. But yeah, I think it's you really just got to invest in like the promotion of it, and just promote it. It's kind of like a personal thing. You're putting your baby out on the line, and it's you're kind of tied to that, and you kind of just have to put it aside and it'll grow and just be consistent. Like the Sky Islands Adventure Rides, they. I started hosting those in 20, let's see, it was like post-COVID. So I think it was 2022 because we're in our third year now or fourth year. Yeah, I can't remember. But they started small and they never filled up, right away. But now, we're 3 or 4 years in and each one's filling up. And same with Ruta del Jefe. When I first hosted Ruta del Jefe, that was only like 50 or 60 people. And then the next year it was sold out. And I'm limited on how many people I can have because I hosted at conservation areas. But so yeah, I mean that event sells out every single year. So yeah, just keep, I think consistency is key, and promoting it and making it an inclusive space for everyone is really important,
So how have you done that? How have you tried to make it these inclusive?
I'm still trying to figure that out with the Sky Islands Adventure Rides. I mean, the regrouping is really helpful, but at this point, I kind of create kind of like a minimal work situation for myself for the rides, just because I'm in the middle of hosting Ruta del Jefe, which is more of a bigger focus and full-time job essentially. So for Ruta del Jefe, I offer priority registration to marginalized groups. So this year we hosted first day was just for Mexican nationals. Second day was for BIPOC folks. Third day of registration was for LGBTQ plus. And the last day was for the general public. So really, there's only 25 spots open for the general public by the time that was time for registration. So that creates a very, beautiful and amazing group of people that come to the event. And I think it's more work to do it that way, but it's 100% worth it. And the people who want to come will get registered or they get on the wait list and they'll come. But it really kind of creates an environment where the people that want to be there are going to be there.
That's pretty unique. I don't think a lot of people are doing that.
I know. I'm honestly pretty surprised, it'll be interesting to see if more people adopt this kind of thing. I do see some people doing that in some spaces, but yeah, like even the bigger events. I think that's the thing is also, my event, I try my hardest to make it as financially accessible as possible. Yeah, like as the event grows, like that is something I am faced with is just like, if I increase the event cost, which you kind of have to do in order to grow in some regard, then you know, then you're kind of opening the event up to, you know, or you're reducing a certain amount of people that you can't, that might not be able to afford it. And though, and I think that those people are the most important people to invest in.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm like, I'm in a, like, in a growing pain, because I don't want to increase the rate of my event. I just want, you know, more sponsors. And that's why I'm going the nonprofit route, so that I can apply for grants so that this event can continually be accessible to, you know, people that might not be able to afford, you know, these events that cost $700 to attend. Because Rucha del Jefe is a, you know, essentially a $700 experience. You know, we're covering food and camping for 4 days. So it's a lot, and lots of programming involved. So what we do financial structure wise is, you know, our sponsors cover about 50% of the operational costs. The participants cover the other 50%. And while I'm not making a profit or an income yet, the fundraiser is all, that's kind of where our profit or our potential profit and income could be going. But what we're doing is we're applying that and donating all those funds to local organizations. So it's a way of giving back. But yeah, there, like I said, there's, we need to figure that out still.
And
not necessarily saying that event promotion and hosting rides is always like a sustainable thing, but I'm trying to make it a sustainable thing for me. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that.
You do a lot of route planning. What kind of tips or tools would you recommend for folks who would like to start doing more route planning?
I mean, Ride with GPS, I think, is the best route making, route planning software that exists. So yeah, whether you're making a route or you're looking at routes, I think it's just easy to use that platform. They also have an app that you can download, you know, if you have a, I think if you have a certain level of account, you can download, download your route files and reference them, on your phone. But they just have, you know, lots of different base maps. You can use their POIs and put POIs all over the routes. When I make a route, I'm usually looking in like hybrid or satellite as my base map to be able to tell where the dirt roads are. I usually populate the map with different POIs, like where the resupply, food, water resupplies are, where the camping spots are, any relevant information, where the potential bailouts are, where the top of the climb is. And then, you know, I save that route and I download it onto my phone. So I reference it during my ride to be like, oh, okay, we're about, you know, 5 miles to the next water stop, or anything like that. I also, will make like a bit of a cheat sheet for myself. So I'll kind of write down, the distance or the mile marker of where those points of interest occur or the resupplies occur and the distance between them. So I usually keep that in like my notes. So for like a bikepacking trip, I think that's really useful because I can review it each night and be like, oh, okay, so tomorrow there's only one resupply at, you know, it's going to be 36 miles into the ride. And, you know, that's the last resupply point for the next day or two. And so I need to make sure I get enough water or food, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And like when I make a route, you know, I try to make it, as enjoyable, for me as possible. And, you know, I don't mind the occasional hike a bike. I definitely don't enjoy hiking my bike all day though. sometimes that just happens because the environmental conditions, but yeah, I like a little mix of everything. You know, I'll take a little bit of dirt road. I'll take a little bit of chunk, take a little bit of single track, whatever I can find. I like just the variety of it.
I've got three final questions for you, but first, where can folks come connect with you? And also, if there are any sponsors you'd like to give out a shout out to, go ahead and do that as well.
Okay, yeah. Best way to follow me is on Instagram. My Instagram is Sarah J. Swallow. And I also have a website, www.sarahjswallow.com, that I update only about once or twice a year. But I do have like a newsletter. So if you ever want to hear about any like big projects like Ruta del Jefe, I notify everybody about Ruta del Jefe and the Sky Islands Adventure Ride Series who sign up for my newsletter. Or if I have anything big to share, I'll share that. So, you can sign up for that on my website, Ruta del Jefe, rutadeljefe.com. That's spelled RutaDeljefe. Yeah, so you can follow the event and, yeah, registration usually opens in the fall around November. It sells out immediately. So, make sure, yeah, you get on my email list or you follow on Instagram so that you can be notified about, when registration opens. And let's see here. Your other question was,
oh, just any question? Sponsors you want to give a shout out to?
Oh yeah. 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 So, yeah, my sponsors are Fjällräven, and Otso Cycles, Physique, SRAM, who else? We've got, Ride With GPS is a sponsor. Yeah, I'm trying to think of all of the sponsors. Yeah, I think, hopefully I'm not forgetting any of them.
Okay, final three questions for you. And first one is, what bike or bikes do you ride?
Yeah, I ride an Otso Cycles. So I ride their Fenrir, which is a titanium frame. It's kind of like an all-terrain bike. It's I have one frame built up as a hardtail mountain bike with a 120 RockShox fork. I use that for bikepacking trips. I also have that same frame built up as a fully rigid drop bar mountain bike, which is great for like a lot of my adventure rides. I also ride the Wahila C, which is Otso's gravel racing bike. So that's, I call that my road bike. So anyway, that's as close as a road bike I've got. And then I also have the Otso Wojtek, which is kind of like it is a fat bike, but it's got a smaller Q factor. So it's a lot more comfortable to ride than a traditional fat bike. And, yeah, I can run 29 by 3-inch tires in that bike with the front suspension fork, or I can run it fully rigid with, 4-inch tires. And so I've got a fat bike set up right now that I use to go down to Baja. And I honestly am going to take it down to Cuenca Los Ojos this time, just because it's a really light and fun bike to ride. So I think I'm going to start using it more for my kind of rugged adventures and stuff, because yeah, it's just a fun bike.
Next question is, where is your favorite place you've ever ridden your bike?
Well, I would say in the U.S., it's Southern Arizona, of course, and that's why I choose to live here now. And internationally, I would say Peru. So Peru and South America are definitely very inspiring places to ride a bike. It's remote riding, great roads, and just incredible terrain and amazing animals and wildlife and beautiful people and culture. And yeah, so
final question is, what is your favorite thing about riding your bike?
I think just being exposed to the world around me, like, gaining a global view, expanding my horizons, knowing that like, hey, the little bubble that I live in is, doesn't really mean much when I'm out here. And, you see the way other people live, or just expanding your worldview, I think, is for me what I love about it. And I've learned a lot from riding my bicycle, and learned a lot about, you know, potential for ways of life, and also, you know, physical potential of myself. So that's always a really healthy thing, I think, to have. And I encourage people to get after that kind of thing. And I think, you know, traveling by bicycle allows you to do both those things at once. So I think it's a great thing to do.
Did you enjoy that episode? If so, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or tell your favorite female writing partners about us. It helps us get the word out about the Femme Cyclist podcast, grow our community, and reach more rad women like yourself. Thanks for listening, and until next time, happy riding.